Welcome back to the AliExpress. It has been over a year, like literally probably a year and a half. And that is because life happened. Like life is so unpredictable. We say that we want to do this and then things just keep happening, bro. And then you just got to roll with the punches. So I'm sitting next to...
Hi, my name is Kaylin. Kind of shy.
She's kind of shy. She's lying. She's not shy.
Because I know I'm being recorded.
Okay.
But okay, yeah.
So, who are you? Because usually I introduce myself with like a quip. So I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Alice and I watch anime for a living. Or hi, I'm Alice and I like telenovelas. So, you are Kaylin and?
I am Kaylin. I'm Kaylin. I am Samkelo's mother.
Oh.
I am people's friend. I am Eben's daughter, Lehutle's daughter, Zandi and Lehutle. I mean, Zandi, Lunati, and Sisipo's sister. And a friend to many. I like to write. I like any kind of creative energy. I'm a big empath. I'm a crybaby. Contrary to popular belief.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't like to bottle myself up.
Okay.
I don't know how...
I think I'm also a bit of a crybaby. I think I'm a HSP. That's what they call it.
What is an HSP?
Highly sensitive person.
Same.
Yeah. So there's all of these, what do you call it, like guides to dealing with HSP kids and adults. We soak up a lot of emotions and so forth. So it's like being an empath, but like more detailed and so forth. So...
Do you think like people just made like a group chat to like
to be
to
like
break down everything because there's now a title for everybody, but maybe it's good because now we have a sort of like a guide to work around them and to accommodate them.
Okay, HSP. Would you say have you done the Myers-Briggs personality test?
No.
Okay, so those tell you what percentage of like introversion you are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other things, also famous people that have maybe recorded similar results.
Mm-hmm.
But it's backed up by like 60 years of research and so forth.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll link you after this chat.
Because
there was a time I was like, I really need to get to know myself. So I was like trying to get my to know myself like in any possible way. So I did the whole astrology birth chart thing. Then I did the science way, which is the Myers-Briggs personality test. And then also we have the woke part, which is on the, you know, it's not spirituality,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they have HSPs and all of that.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
But sometimes, don't you think we need to get to know ourselves by experience as opposed to a theory?
Yeah, definitely.
Because sometimes the study as to where the theory comes from, you could be the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that's true.
You could be the exception to the rule and...
Okay. So you said something very interesting when you introduced yourself. You said that you're a mother,
mm-hmm.
you're a daughter, you're a sister and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed a trend that happens when women sort of become mothers or wives. It sort of like takes over their whole personality. And it's like they stop being other people. And then these are their roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know how you compartmentalized things, or does it all of a sudden like flow together? Like, how are you still Kaylin after being a mother and everything? Because some things you're born with, you're
mm-hmm.
born maybe being somebody's sister, but then later on, maybe a new sibling comes on.
100%.
Yeah, or later on, you get married and you're a wife. So, how are you still Kaylin
sure.
with all of those things?
I thought this was the AliExpress. Isn't it like supposed to be a smooth ride? This is like, whoa. That's a very good question because it makes me think. It makes me do some introspection because end of the day, as being a mother, being a sister, being a friend, you never stop being that however you evolve.
Yes.
As the individual. And... It's a blessing to find people around you that can accept you in the space that you are, be it good or bad. This is a loaded question. Becoming a mother, you are right. You do lose yourself.
Yeah.
And you do feel the necessity to be on top of things, especially in the mother aspect, because there is a perception in society as to what is a good mother, right?
Yeah.
And what's wild is that your biggest critic is other mothers. Yeah.
No, I've seen that on like social media posts.
Your biggest critic is other mothers.
Yeah.
I've got a very close-knit group of friends, people that I grew up with. And I was the first one to have a child. So in the beginning, it felt like, why are you guys not inviting me to stuff?
So did you feel that like separation? Oh, where people would just leave you out?
Not separation. I felt excluded. But after being a mom, I mean, you've had 9 months of hormones flying around. They don't stop for the like next year.
Really?
You're still uber sensitive. You're still emotional and all of that stuff. So, but they showed up for me and continue to show up for me the best way that they can. Because I felt that I'm a mother, I'm a new mother, I haven't done this before, but I didn't consider that they've never had a friend in that space. You know?
It's also new to them.
Yeah.
I think, I don't really think I have friends that have kids. It's really just family. We haven't had that, like.
And it's, I didn't consider it that time. Mm. At that time,
you were
deep
just
in my feels, like, nobody really, just that kind of thing. So, but then later, as things progressed and went on, my mom always reminded me, like, look, you are still Kaylin. You can't expect things from your friends in a certain manner if they can't, they don't know how to.
Yeah, they haven't also, like you said, getting to know yourself, it's also experience. You can't just read about it. So
100.
They were also experiencing that for the first time.
100%. Yeah. And I don't know how it came to me. I don't remember what happened. And I just had to tell myself, you know their heart.
Yeah, God knows our heart.
They know
people
my heart.
Say that.
So,
yeah, they know your heart.
Yeah. So don't feel like they're neglecting you. They do love you. They do what they need to do. And you need to do what you need to do for yourself. Because at the time, I was in a relationship. I was a mother. So now, your partner also feels like you're neglecting you. You're paying attention to this. Then your parents, your friends. It's a lot. It's a lot to balance. But I would not have any other kind of balancing act with motherhood being thrown in. As much as it came to shape me, mm-hmm. that's maybe what I needed.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely what I needed, because everybody knows that knows me. I'm sure there are a few people watching this. It's like, Kaylin, the gang party, wah, wah. But you know, that's what I needed to bring some kind of level-headedness at least.
Okay.
Finding myself or still remaining Kaylin, I can't really be Kaylin without
all those other parts 100%. That make you. Yes, it's like almost like being a black person, or a black woman. It's part of you. You can't say that I'm just a woman, because it's not the same as being a non-person of color, etc.
Wow.
So there are certain things that you can't separate. So, today's episode is kind of, I haven't been here for like a year and a half. We're trying to catch up. Where have I been? Where are we in 2023? 2024 is coming. So we have a little few updates. First of all, these episodes are sponsored by Rick Fontaine. Getting the juice. So these are sponsored by Rick Fontaine, and it kind of came at a time where I was like, I want to start recording again, but there wasn't any oomph to do it. So I'm kind of glad that worked out. So I know that this is the first of many, and even after the episodes that are sponsored, we'll still continue.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Why did you start recording?
Why do I start recording?
Why
like,
did you start?
Initially, my podcast. Shoo. Okay, girl. I don't want to say I was depressed, because we throw around those medical terms.
Say what you felt, babe.
I was lonely. Yeah?
Okay.
And so when I would listen to podcasts, because they usually have like a few group of friends, I actually started listening to the friend zone. I would feel like I'm with people because I was living alone. I live alone now and it's not lonely, but before at that time, I just felt, and I was in a foreign country. And there's just this sort of sigh of relief when you have people with you, right? Mm-hmm. So when
I'm sure when you also can relate to them.
Yes,
you, feel like...
you can't relate to anybody. Nobody knows Namibians. Who is that? A lot of the other African countries, it's like they have larger populations. So we're not a lot wherever we go, if we're in diaspora. So, yeah.
I love that word.
Diaspora. So, yeah, no, I felt lonely. And I won't lie, when my mom relocated back, we weren't even in the same city.
Sorry. Imagine you had a friend called Diaspora. Hi, Diaspora. Hey, Pora.
Just call me D. I don't mind.
Sorry. When your mom relocated.
No, she relocated. She was in a different city. But just having that, there's a relative nearby.
Yeah.
I instantly felt different.
Yeah.
So I started recording because I felt that a sense of community is very important wherever you are.
Yeah.
And... it can help you feel less alone. Because they say that loneliness shortens your life by the same amount of cigarettes. I think it's like 23% or something. But you can literally die of loneliness. And
when you read these things...
Mm-hmm. No, it's real things.
No,
like
it
psychology.
Is. 100% no.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
But I just want you to know.
Where do I read them? Like, sometimes I'll be watching a TED Talk and it'll be like a psychologist talking about this shit. But I say all of that to say that it really is like, how do I say? It's actually impactful because now in the new age that we're in, mm-hmm. we don't live in a mega city, right? Mm-hmm. We're very connected. We're a community. That's why when I went to a very big city, I felt disconnected and lonely. So there's actually an epidemic or endemic or whatever they call it, where people are lonely, basically, mm-hmm. in those states where some haven't felt physical touch in like years, and sometimes
even sunlight.
Yeah. Ooh. Don't talk about the winter. The winter is horrible.
Mm.
Like me and my roommate at Rez, because she was from the States. She was from a very sunny part. We were just like, what the hell is this shit?
That's from Florida.
Yeah. No, she was from Oklahoma.
Okay.
But she was just like, what the hell is this shit? Like we're actually depressed because we're not getting any vitamin D. Yeah. So,
sorry,
but I say all of that to say that it's a big problem in other countries because
mm-hmm.
they have apps for everything and they don't harass each other. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like I can go to a chill place and interact and meet somebody.
And you will
new.
Meet someone you know.
There, in those countries, it's like we're so afraid of offending or whatever. There's no contact. To the point that even their dating or friendship websites, because I even joined Bumble Friendship, guys. It was so sad. where you have to initiate contact to say that it's okay for somebody to message you. Like, consent is everything.
Love it.
In Africa, people don't care. They'll even tell you.
Look at them.
They'll say, Shori, your skirt is a bit too short. I didn't ask for this opinion, but it's here. But in all of that, we still have the sense of community because we interact with each other all the time. It's easy to go to work, go home, and yeah, so that's why I started this, because I just felt, I was like, maybe somebody out there might listen to this and feel like, wow, okay, I'm listening to my friend, or you know,
feel closer to home.
Yeah, feel closer to home, or I'm just cleaning the house and I just want some background noise. It doesn't have to be that philosophical.
Do you know, like, you hugged my little heart right now, because like speaking about relocating, coming to Sokop,
mm-hmm.
my mom used to live here. She's been here for like, or had been here for like 2-3 years. I came in January. She left around May. No. May's early April. And initially it was just like, no, I have to go do jobs in Windhoek. Or my job requires me to be there at the office. And then she just, was there. And then never came back. Okay, I wasn't like neglected or like, you know, but it made me coming from home, coming from Vento, coming from a space where if anything happens, you know exactly who to call to fix that problem. And coming from, from seeing your snaps and stuff on social media, you and your family are very close. Same with myself. So having been here on my own with my son rocked me.
It also rocked you. So it was another level of rocking from motherhood and all that change. Yeah. Relocation also rocked you.
It did. And it's the first time I'm being in a new space, an unfamiliar space, without any support or community. Yes, I know people who are fish beans, but I'm
mentioning. Yeah, no, I had a very dark thought. I was like, if I die today, that was before I had made any friends. But I was like, if I die, who will find my body? I was like, bro, that, it will take a while for people to be like, Mara, where is this girl?
Do you
like,
know them?
Is she fine?
There was a day where I was at work. I started working in June. My son goes to school here as well. And the cab driver didn't pick up my son. Their school comes up at 12:30. The teacher called me like at 10 to 1. You know, with these Caucasians, they get... time. And she calls me. She's like, no, the taxi driver hasn't picked him up or everything. So I call him and his phone is going unanswered. After a while, it's off. I had a slow panic. And it was at lunchtime. So I left work. I went to fetch my child. Went to go drop him off at home. And then I went back to work. The next day, the teacher sent out letters to update our emergency contacts.
Yes.
And the contact, the letter started with a letterhead and it said, dear parent, kindly update emergency numbers ABC. So it says mom's number, dad's number, then it says emergency numbers or / pick up people who are allowed to pick up, and there's five people.
You didn't have five people.
I only wrote mom's number.
Yeah, no.
And I started crying.
Yes.
I cried real tears and I called my mother and I'm like, what has happened?
Because you guys are not here. And it's really not the same.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's really not.
No, I would have breakdowns because they relocated. And I'll be like, nobody gives a shit like she does.
Bro, I...
yes.
And let's see it on it. Then I have a cousin here and his wife, but they both work on the mine. So if something happens to my child, the person's still coming a few kilometers.
Yes.
And I realized, ne, girl... now, ne, wipe your tears. There's nothing else you can do. Because the worst place you can feel sorry for yourself is outside of your mother's house.
Yeah,
that's true. It is only your mother that is going to do what nothing, what nobody else can do. Like, if they say only apples grow here, your mother's going to make sure an orange grows there.
Yes.
That's my mother.
Yes, that's also how I feel.
And then,
and we're lucky and blessed to have that. Blessed, but at the same time, you grow up and recognize that it's not everywhere.
And then you realize, okay, maybe I was a bit spoiled.
Yo.
And then you
I think be I'm what you spoiled. Have to
become.
Yes. Or even at some, we're sheltered.
I wasn't sheltered.
Oh, okay. For us, it's not like it was on purpose.
100%.
But it was just like you want your kids to think the best of yes. everything.
Yes.
Hey, now you are at work. And like they say on the memes, your enemy is a 63-year-old man. Like you're just trying to go to work, uncle. Bro. Yeah, just trying to. You have an op, bro. Like they didn't tell you guys or tell us that we have ops. Like we're just living in our.
But everything's supposed to be nice.
Yeah, well, nice. Everything is nice at home. She makes sure everything is nice. I go out into the world and there are ops and you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, sometimes you're like, bruh, like, what's going on?
You
know?
Me.
Yeah, what's going on? You tricked me. But it was, you know, she did the best.
Yeah.
She did the best.
And also, those are the teaching moments. Those are the moments that reminded me, at least, to say that she has done what she has to do or what she had to do, right? And the best that she could, she did it. And continues to, you know, there's no manual to it. There is no book to it. And I also just pulled up for myself the way I had to. But honestly, I think I wouldn't do as much for myself as I have done for my son.
Yes, there's that. I don't know. There's strength. Like for me, I could never stand up for myself. Or rather, I would.
Yeah, you've got that.
Yeah. And people see it. People see it and they will do the most.
And it's irritating, but, the ones that take advantage.
Yes. But do some shit to somebody else that I love and you will see I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's easier to just sometimes stand up for other people.
Trauma response, eh?
Hey. Let's not go there.
That's a trauma response. Because you don't see yourself worthy to be stood up for. So you do it for others. And do you know why I know it so well? Because I'm looking in the mirror.
Damn. No, there was once, like, have you ever been to therapy?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound convincing.
I have.
No, but, like, have you ever had to see that sometimes you think so little of yourself? Do you know and what? You're, like, a bit embarrassed because
they're like,
Chomi, you are also a person. Like,
you know when you take an empty can and you put something in and you shake it? I had that moment once at therapy. I was there bawling my eyes out, telling a story, becoming three sessions on. And every time we jump, we start off again. And she says to me, and I'm like, I'm so overprotective over my family, my friends, everybody that knows me. Kaden is like this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then she says, do you know that you're very defensive? I was like, And that was already
That's defense, you know? Being defensive in your reaction.
And she's like, and then she said, and I'm like, how am I defensive if I am doing this? She's like,
girl,
all of that, defense.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, that's a title that I could put next to myself, like a description, adjective that I could put next to myself. And when she broke it down, she said, you're not defensive in the sense that you just go out and be like, what? No, me. It's because you have experienced certain things and seen people you love go through certain things. Now, your guilt of not standing up or stopping that from happening, you feel the need to go into everybody's lives that you love and stop what you feel they don't deserve.
That is actually very sad. Because if we had to go back to my childhood,
even I'm like, and she's like, and I had a friend who was in a relationship or a situation with a guy, and I was like, and she came to me and she said, Kaylin, you, I'm telling you now, I hear the story, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Mm. I need you as my friend to support it. I was like, fine. But when she told me and all these things started coming back to me, I was like, that's very true. I'm fucking intrusive. Like, I feel like, and I want to validate my behavior of, but I love you.
Yeah, I'm doing this.
I'm your friend.
Love.
Yes. You know this is Kaylin. This is what I do.
Okay, and so I have a question. What would you do for your inner child now?
Yo.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, at the core of it, it's who we were as little kids growing up.
I would and talk. I didn't talk.
You didn't talk?
As a child. That's maybe why I feel now I should speak, and sometimes I speak when I shouldn't speak.
And then you sometimes overspeak.
Overspeak, yes, and yeah. Overshare. I will talk. There's a lot of stuff that I kept to myself, other people's stuff that I kept to myself.
Yeah, maybe that's why I have a podcast, because I was not heard. I would speak.
And I feel misunderstood.
But we had, that, it's a Vambu thing, I think,
sure.
Where children are like not people. It's like, you're like a second grade below person, which we also have with women because of the misogyny and everything. But children are not heard. Like literally children would say something, and sometimes it would just not be taken seriously because it's coming from a child. And I think maybe at the core of it, maybe that's why I have this podcast, because I would speak, but I was not heard. Nobody was listening. And then it would be sort of, I don't want to say too late, but like we said, trauma. And then maybe now it's like, let's try and stop that for other people. We see it. Kids all the time would say stuff. Maybe things are happening at school and whatnot, and you're more inclined to believe the adult in the situation.
What makes sense.
Yeah, what makes sense. And you're like, and also people have this thing where they think adults can't lie.
Yeah.
You can't say that adults lie.
Because you cannot lie.
Yeah. And the thing is, kids are so honest, they'll be like, tofunchu.
Yeah.
And then the adults are like, no, hush, don't say that. So, yeah, I think. Yeah.
You said something now,
mm-hmm.
About not being heard, so you stopped speaking. It made me think now to think that maybe our parents were not prepared to be able to listen.
Yeah, no, because you also...
Because, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've had conversations with you before, and our upbringing and situations around our parents and stuff. There were difficult situations that they had to deal with. And sometimes being a parent, you just do the surface level stuff. She woke up, she bathed, she ate, she went to school, she did her homework, she went back to bed and she ate.
That's all.
You know? The listening part, interacting, emotionally engaging.
Even playing with
you. Even emotionally engaging, you know? You tuck it away because you can't, you don't have the capacity at that time because you've got other stuff that is holding up everything emotionally with you. So I don't know, I'm not making an excuse, but
it's not an excuse. I had to come to this point where I was like, our parents are people. At first, they were just my parents, but they're people. And people have flaws. People also have trauma. People also have their strengths. They have weaknesses, they have strength, and they also have personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it gets to a point where you're like, oh, my mom's actually funny, or oh, she actually likes this, and she's my mom, but she's all these other people.
100%.
Yeah. Which is why I'm happy to have you here, because you said you're a mom and all these other people. And you also spoke about your writing and everything else. So, creative space. I get that a lot because people are like, you're very academically inclined. So they're like, why are you doing all these other stuff? And I'm like, we can be multifaceted.
But why would
two things can be true? Yeah.
To be an artist, you have to be bloody somehow smart. Like, you don't think like everybody else. There's something that you see. Somebody can see it as trash. You see it as a masterpiece. So there should be something that people should be able to recognize that creatives are out there, bro.
Yeah.
It may not make sense to you, but you need to respect it.
Yeah.
That's actually something that I've noticed in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big respect that I have to creatives, that if you can take a talent or mm-hmm. a skill, a creative one at that, in a small country like ours that aren't as broad-minded in terms of that, and make it a bloody business, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Like,
and I want to say, I didn't mean we really aren't broad-minded, but exposure actually determines a lot.
Exposure, and not everybody has
also that privilege of
being exposed.
Yeah.
100%. However, there are people in what they have, their passion and their belief in themselves and whatever they have pushes them.
Yes.
And propels 100%. Them to spaces that none of us could have. And other people's like, no, I'm going to be an artist in Germany. Okay. But as a Namibian, what are you doing for Namibia in terms of creativity? There's a little bit too girl now who could be a Picasso.
Yes. But you because know,
you've left now to Germany to go Einzweidrei, this one will never believe that they can do this country, so you in take, this space.
You go places, but you also take people with you. I believe
you go 100, but yeah. I feel like create the space within our
in country. Our country. It can be a bit.
I don't say it's easy. I don't say
discouraging.
100%
discouraging.
These
and so I understand that. I don't blame people actually that leave and they're like, I'm never coming back.
I don't either.
And they're like, oh, if this everything is fucked up. You gotta know somebody to be somebody. Mm. And I don't. I'm going where it's fair. And I don't blame that.
Yeah.
But for me, I love home. So I'm always going to be here. I don't think I would ever. I would leave, but I would always come back.
What's her name? May I name drop?
Yeah, if it's in a good way.
100%. I'm a nice person. Jamie Lee.
Yes.
Dierhardt,
yes.
Owner of Etc. And
they actually have an event happening Namibian today.
Art Association.
Yes.
That woman,
mm-hmm.
yo, in terms of creativity, relentless. Relentless, unwavering, like, and she's always excited for new talent, new anything. And her ideas, her mind is, wow, it's.
Yeah, no.
Even I saw now lately, Martin Amushenje is also part of one of the board.
He members. Is. I saw those.
He's also an amazing creative. There's a guy that's your friend. He's a comedian. He wears glasses. I don't know him personally.
It's Alois Akharov.
Akharov
is
relentless.
No, he like, is. Also, he said, this is what I came to do, and I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it every chance I can get.
My
like,
G, do you know how much... Do you know it how much impact he's making?
Yeah.
For me, I've never been in a space with him.
Mm-hmm.
I've never sat on the couch here and he's sitting there and heard him speak. No. I've just seen from far, like, posts and stuff. Ne? And you need to fucking clap.
Yes.
You need to fucking clap. There's, who else is there? Man, there's a lot.
Yeah, we're actually a lot. But that's also, like you said, giving back to every little kid that's already in primary school, high school, that's looking up,
man,
and seeing
at
this.
Home, they tell you are cheeky. You're not cheeky, you're a comedian. You just witty, you're quick just, with it.
Yes, you're quick with the responses. You said it's not nurse, doctor, whatever, secretary.
Yes.
It's other things as well.
I mean,
let's be multifaceted. Yes.
And if you are encouraged in that space, there are people who have that faith in themselves to
propel the, them, like you said, she... You,
to take the, what do they call it? The road
less traveled. Yeah, less traveled by.
They can take it. They are those. But others, they need that little bit of...
I think
and we're not doing it enough.
That need that kapush, guys.
No?
Maybe that's why. Yeah, maybe that's... It was necessary, guys.
But your push came from within.
It does at some point. But mm-hmm. It would help to have people that believe in you.
It would be
yeah
nice.
No, like even with us, some of us, it was you know, you're encouraged, but there's like the opposite of that where people are discouraging you, and then because of that you are like, I'm going to show you now that I can do
yeah.
this. Yes.
Your
so,
pride.
Yeah, your pride, your ego comes into
your
play.
Ego.
Mm. And sometimes you're propelled by the opposite of that. Maybe people not believing in you, it was like, let me show them.
Mm.
Yeah, I think for me, it was probably more of that than the other side. But I'm very, like, I'm a marshmallow. I'm soft. And I respond to kindness. And I would wish that was how things... No, really. Even there was a driving instructor who was so mean. I was like, I can't do this.
You can't
and
drive?
I, yeah. I was like... And I went to go get a really nice one. And I was like, I passed. Like, I'm not every day suffering, guys. Like, not every day.
No, 100%.
Yeah. And even a lot of arguments... Or situations where maybe my feelings are hurt or whatever. A lot of the times I'll say, please talk to me nice. Like, you know.
Please don't talk to me like
yes,
that.
Yes, please mm-hmm. talk to me nice because I'm a, like, you know. And you've seen, I don't know if you've seen those recent memes where they're like, when you're being mean to me, this is how you're being mean. This is who you're being mean to. And it's like a little puppy dog. I'll insert it or something. But yes. One of the segments that I'm bringing onto the show, I think it's only been on like two or one episode, was the petty peeves. Something okay. little, it's not, it doesn't have to be that much, but like just fucking annoyed you this week or this past month. So I'll start.
Okay.
I hate it when people weave in and out of traffic, pick a lane. No, it's a petty peeve.
No, listen.
No, we are going to work. Okay, it's usually, we're going to work.
Uh-huh.
There's two lanes or three lanes.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you need to end up. You know where you're going to turn. Why are you doing zigzag? Like, why is it zigzag? Just drive where you are supposed to be.
Yes.
Pick the lane. Mm-hmm. Why are you changing two lanes three times?
Just hindering your progress.
What is going on?
Yes.
I have to ask... Is everything okay? That is my pet. I hate it. And I see it a lot. I see it every day and it fucking pisses me off. Because I'm like, you are ending up where you could have been if you just driven straight or picked a lane. So for me, pick a lane. Maybe that could also be transferred into other parts of life. Like, pick your lane and stick to it. Don't zigzag all the time. Just stick to your lane. But that irritates me. So what is your petty peeve for the week or the month?
There's very likely like 7,000 of them because
we have
you can
some
call
us
me
in
like
this country.
Petty LaBelle
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hold on to things, so to remember it is a bit difficult.
No, that's okay. That's fair. I will remember. Bad service at a restaurant, I'll remember. I'll go there with like a little in my heart.
Is
I'm
it?
Like, I'm back here. Let's see how things will go.
I know
today.
Something happened at work that I was just like... Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, at work, coffee station. I don't drink coffee. I don't give a shit about coffee. I'll drink tea when it's cold. And lately in Swakop, it has been warm. But why are you going to leave the milk with the lid there? I don't drink milk.
Yeah.
But it's irritating. So what I did was I took the lid. I asked the lady, the kitchen lady, at work, I was like, who is here drinking milk? And it's like, no, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Alice. Hi, Alice. How are you? I think you forgot something. I was like, huh? What's that? I said, the milk. So it's the dopey. And then she was like, there's the milk container. I said, yes, that you left open. So it was a thing because I felt like her whole department was like, the whole, I was like, it may be petty, but I was just like, home training.
Yeah, no, home training. You're with other people in other spaces.
But entitlement.
No, but you're also not alone in the road.
100%. The
same thing.
And like you said, it will apply to other parts of life.
And that road that I drive every week, or I see at least 2 accidents. I'm not lying. They're not bad or fatal, but it's just like debris, somebody's car is damaged, somebody's whole day is fucking ruined. And it's because
maybe from zigzag then.
Zigzag? Why? Just, you know that you're going to turn right very soon, or maybe 600 meters. Keep this way. Now you're here.
Not everyone is as calculated as you, Alice. You're calculating.
Yeah, no, I really am. No. Lately, I'm dealing with, or living or being amongst people that have no sense of urgency, and they're very nonchalant and
go with the flow. Call me, don't talk in the corners. Please call me by my name, because that's me.
Are you not stressed?
Me? Never forever, for what?
Okay.
Yeah. To be stressed, then, my darling. Honestly, if something's gonna stress me, I'm only irritated. But if you will never be confused when I'm irritated, because my face will tell.
Okay.
But come on, we are going on a trip.
Guys, let's another petty peeve, guys. I traveled with my friends. We went to my friend's farm, and then after that, we also went to Cape Town.
Mm.
When we went to my friend's farm, I was shocked.
Mm.
These people have 2 pin applications or like chargers.
Okay.
None of them thought to bring an adapter. Oh, life is just so sweet. You don't have to be prepared.
Because where you're going, surely you're going to spin an adapter, no?
To the point where one was like, oh, this is mine. I came with this from Vintook. Be prepared. And then we go to South Africa and it's the same thing.
Okay. Okay, but it's 2023. Yeah, why do we not have adapters for us?
But why aren't you not prepared for that extra, you know? Just in case. Don't you want to be comfortable, guys? I don't understand people.
But do you understand my comfort to feel like there must be one day?
Yeah, no, you guys stress me. I can't. Like, you guys stress me. Just living life. And it works out. And it works out because somebody like me has that shit. And the next time, you're not even going to prepare. So now it's just, we are going to continue.
No, I feel like you're calling me out. Because I have no sense of urgency.
Yeah.
I'm very nonchalant. But life is... Have you seen that video now of that other girl? She's like, everything was shellel. It was like a python on the stoop. Just sliding. Don't stress, bro. There's
I must check the weather. What are we going to wear?
You must check... Okay, I've also... Like, same.
Yeah,
like with the app, it will be there. However, I will not pack 3 days in advance.
Okay. Damn.
If my flight is at 7 in the evening, maybe I have to be the most at 5 at the airport. Well, I can pack at 1 or 2.
Okay. I'll just end this here because I don't want to get inspired. Let's finish this off.
Thank you, Rich, for today, for bringing the vibes.
Yeah, thank you for the vibes. Cheers. And what makes you unique?
Me.
Or what's the flavor in you before we sign off?
To ask somebody, I don't know, I'm joking.
Actually, what is your favorite Rietfontein flavor? And why?
Orange mango.
Okay. Because
it's nice for taste.